Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in here in Mississippi at WYED 94.1 FM and WYEDonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in online via our podcast around the world, we're glad that you all could join us as well. But if you've ever wondered if you can make a difference in the lives of others, I think our next two guests will be able to help you see that no matter where you come from, what you're able to do in the lives of young people and older ones, as well as, of course, inspire them as along the way as well. We're excited to welcome C.J. Stewart and his wife Kelly to our broadcast today. Together, they've been able to help with the mission of LEAD Center for Youth. We're going to talk to them not only about LEAD, but also what it's been like for them in their individual lives to be able to motivate and inspire others, but also how you all can be a part of the work they're doing as well. If you guys are not following, of course, the work that LEAD does, we'll let you know how to be able to do that and stay connected with C.J. and Kelly as well. But thanks to the two of you for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yes, it is a pleasure to be here with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. So glad to be able to have you for sure. So, CJ, I'll start with you. You know, you're one of these individuals who's been able to use your public platform to be able to really raise awareness and make a difference. What has it been like for you to see the way that you've been able to inspire others?
It's absolutely amazing. I mean, I have several people that I interact with that are really struggling to figure out how they want to live their lives. And so I count it a blessing and a privilege to actually be working and living within my calling. So, you know, it is spiritually fulfilling, mentally, emotionally, physically, and even financially just a blessing. I'm at peace.
Yeah. And then, Kelly, what about for yourself? I mean, what has it been like for you to be able to see the difference that you all have been able to make just by being able to step up and to take the lead?
Hold on, let's see. Kelly, are you there? She may not be there. I know she was having some phone issues, but I will just say that.
I think I hear. Yeah. Good. Okay, Kelly, you can go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing really good. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, good. I'm not sure if you heard the question, Kelly, so I'll be glad to repeat it for you. I was just asking, what has it been like for you to be able to see the difference you've been able to make just by being able to step up and take the lead?
So first of all, thank you for this opportunity to be on your show, and I apologize for being late calling in. I was trying to call in and Wi-Fi, all that good stuff.
I get it.
But glad to be here.
Yeah, not a problem. Glad to have you.
You know, baseball was not something that I grew up with. I mean, I had a friend who played baseball in high school, and I just supported him because he was my friend. But I was not going to be going out to any baseball games in high school. So even just to be in the role that I'm in right now is really quite ironic. But what I've done is I've just found my space in my role as the CEO and co-founder. As, you know, what did I want people to do for me when I was a kid? You know, what do I wish I would have had when I was a kid? And just doing my best every day to create those opportunities and experiences for the boys and girls that we serve in our program.
Love that. Love it. So I want to talk about what it's been like for you, the two of you together. Kelly, I'll stay with you on this, and then we'll go to CJ. Because I think, you know, we all have heard that saying, you know, there's strength in numbers. The two of you have been able to really show that, but also to show people that, look, if you step up, that people will join you. What has that been like for you, Kelly, to see the way that how this mission for LEAD began and also the people that have come in to support you?
Well, it's been quite an experience just because, you know, me nor CJ, it's not like we come from money. I mean, we come from very humble beginnings. And, you know, when you think about starting a nonprofit organization, the whole purpose in life is to make profit. So when people were talking about a nonprofit, we were like, I don't know if we want to do that or not. So there was a whole education process that we had to have to even start this venture. So, you know, professionally, we had to really be educated on what we were doing. But what I will say is this, you know, whenever you're putting good out in the world, God has a way of bringing good people to you. And so along the way, from the beginning of this process, even to this date, we've just had people see what we do, what we're doing, hear about what we're doing, and connect us with even more people. So just seeing that and seeing how people have come to support this vision that CJ had and the programs that we've created, that's just been, you know, that's been very, that's been fuel for us to keep going.
Love that. Well, CJ, your wife, particularly for you, where did the idea for LEAD come from?
So the idea came actually from my birth. I was born and raised in the Bankhead, Northwest Atlanta community of Atlanta, which was and still is a very disenfranchised community, high poverty, and a lack of financial and social capital. And around the age of 8 years old in 1984, I fell in love with baseball, watching Chicago Cubs games with my grandfather during the summertime. And so in the black community, specifically in Atlanta, summertime meant baseball. So you get out of school, and most of the black boys that were in my network, we were playing baseball, not organized, but within the community. I mean, it was, you know, get a bat and whiffle ball or tennis ball. And we played baseball, so I had the good fortune of playing baseball at Cascade Youth Organization at the age of 8 for the very first time, and that was in the Southwest Atlanta community. So back then, Southwest Atlanta was where your more middle and upper middle class African-Americans lived, specifically people like Hank Aaron, people like Hosea Williams and different civil rights leaders, Maynard Jackson. And so my very first coach was Emmett Johnson Sr., who was the chairman of the Atlanta Public Schools Board of Education, which was and still is a powerful position in Atlanta. And so playing baseball there, not only was I around a level of competitiveness, of boys, but my social capital. I mean, it was not uncommon. And Kelly wouldn't even believe me oftentimes when I would tell her early on, but, I mean, I would see Coretta Scott King at my games, the wife of Martin Luther King Jr. She was a leader in her own right. But, I mean, these names that we hear about, they were in my community. And then fast-forwarding was to play professionally for the Cubs. I got drafted twice by the Cubs, played in the Cubs organization. And then in 2007, Kelly and I had been 9 years into Diamond Directors, developing the talent of amateur athletes, helping them become college ball players and major leaguers. And then in 2007, Stan Conway, who's the father of one of my clients, Davis Conway, who's a middle schooler at the time, Stan said, CJ, there's a decline of blacks in baseball. And just challenged me and asked me why wasn't I doing anything about it. And Stan himself is a white man. So that was a very convicting day for me. I had some sleepless nights. And at that point, that conviction led to my calling to start LEAD, but the actual working of it in large part has been because of Kelly's leadership.
Got you. Well, that teamwork is so important, and it's something that's definitely come through, and I was prepping for the segment. I should let our audience know I have it here on my Kindle, but CJ is the author of the book that kind of chronicles his journey as well, Living to Lead. You guys can get it through our friends at Amazon.com, A Story of Passion, Purpose, and Grit. So let's talk about the acronym of LEAD, Kelly, if you would. Walk us through how that came about and what it's been like for you to share that message.
So when we started LEAD, we wanted the name of the organization to speak to who we were and what we were about. And so we wanted it to really give our marching orders for ourselves internally, but also to the community. So the L in LEAD stands for launch, which means we're launching student athletes towards their educational opportunities after we convert their raw talent into the skills that are required to compete for college athletic programs. We're exposing our youth to service and local enrichment activities, And that's so we can instill a sense of responsibility, belonging, and investment in them, which is a key requirement for building a civically engaged individual. There's a lot of gentrification, a lot of displacement going on in our community in the inner city of Atlanta, and it is imperative more now than ever to make sure that our boys and our girls feel like this city still belongs to them. So that exposing piece is very important. Advising players and coaches and parents on the process of effectively supporting the dreams of playing baseball and tennis, you know, even at the amateur level, but also at the college level. You know, this whole pay-to-play scene has complicated a lot for families. And even more so playing at the college level, if you're coming from a family that where no one in the household has ever gone to college, let alone been a student athlete. So doing what we can to advise them and make sure that they have the right information they need to make the best decision for their child, but also directing our youth towards their promise by using that historical journey of past African-American legends as the roadmap. You know, in our schools, in our curriculum, we don't see a lot as much as we should for the contributions that we've made, not just in baseball and in sport, but just in American society in general. So we make sure that we pick out those people, places, things, ideas, and concepts that are African-American-centric so that we can build up the pride that our youth need to have in order to navigate, you know, the world before them.
Yeah. CJ, you've been able to make such a different impact on the field. What has it been like for you now here in the streets, you know, and in the communities to be able to see the impact you've been able to make?
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you refer to it as being in the streets. I mean, because, I mean, you know, Kelly and I, our name is good in the streets of Atlanta. In Atlanta, if you're born in poverty, you have a 4% chance of making it out. And so, to be able to be back home in the community that I was born and raised in, it means a lot because, I mean, there is a level of embarrassment that I felt where I played professional baseball and my career ended, and then I started to train players and develop elite players that have gone on to become major leaguers, been a part of the development process of Jason Hayward, Andrew McCutchen, Dexter Fowler, and several others. And but then when I would come back home, this is prior to league starting, you know, if a kid came up to me and asked me, you know, how did you make it to the level that you made it in? Can I train with you? I wouldn't have had an answer. I mean, because I definitely would have been stumbling because, you know, we just weren't set up to serve kids. And so now that we are back and we've invested millions of dollars and served over 5,400 boys, for me, my legacy, I still have work to do, but if I didn't have an opportunity to do any more work in the city, I think I have a legacy that that will be long lasting.
Right, exactly. Now, Kelly, talk to us about that. How does it feel to know what CJ just said about the impact and legacy you all are making now but also leaving behind?
You know, I really appreciate CJ's love for the game of baseball and just what it's done for his life and how passionate he has been about making sure that other youth have the same and better opportunities as he had, simply because with his background and his expertise, he could be doing anything else in the world. And for him to be concerned about that next generation and that next generation and that next generation of youth and making sure that they have more opportunities than he ever had, I really admire that about him because I know, you know, like I said, he could be doing anything else. I'm really proud of him as his wife, but I'm also really proud that our daughters have a father like him to look up to. And, you know, he's leaving a legacy not just for the community, but for them as well.
Kelly, I want to stay with you with this next question, and CJ ask you the same thing. You know, we live in, and the work that the two of you are doing is outstanding, and what both
Thank
of you have been able to do individually is outstanding. Unfortunately, we live in a world where if it bleeds, it leads, that the negativity gets the attention more so than the positivity and the impact, the positive impact that's happening in the world. You all are doing great work that can't be denied, but what is it that keeps you optimistic in the face of all of that? Because if you just, you know, I can say this speaking here on the radio side where I am, I'm in Mississippi. Well, you hear Mississippi, you don't necessarily think of the best of things. You know, but there are a lot of great things happening in the state right now, right? But it gets kind of overshadowed by the mess. What has it been like for you to stay optimistic? What helps you stay optimistic, Kelly, in the face of the mess?
Well, you know, it's funny when you say Mississippi. I mean, when you say Mississippi, I think of Fannie Lou Hamer. And, you know, Ms. Hamer gives me hope, you know, just her struggle and fight to make sure that African Americans have the right to vote and so many other things. So, unfortunately, we do live in that type of society where if it bleeds, it leads. But, you know, not but, and unfortunately, we have too many instances where we have circumstances where there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of pain, and we don't choose to lead with that. We do choose to tell the full story, though, because we have to tell the whole story, because it is not, you know, all rainbows and roses here either. We are trying and doing great work in the midst of chaos. You know, people say that Atlanta is the black Mecca, and, you know, it just depends on what kind of black you are. Every black, all black people ain't doing well, you know, in the city of Atlanta. And so we have to tell the true, authentic story of what our boys and their families and our girls and their families are going through. And there is that element of hurt and strife and struggle in there. But we also make sure that we tell that element of beauty and of triumph and victory that is in there as well. So we just have to make sure we tell the whole true authentic story.
Yeah, love that. CJ, what about for yourself? I mean, you know, better than most, you know, how it's not always the positive that gets the attention. And even though, Killian, you are doing such great work, what is it that keeps you optimistic in face of the challenges that you all see, as well as the difficulties of getting the message out?
Well, you know, even have an opportunity to be on your platform so that listeners can hear about us, we are winning. We're having success, and we're having success with a mission in part for black boys to use the sport of baseball and black girls to use the sport of tennis to overcome what we call three curveballs that threaten their success: crime, poverty, and racism. And we believe that racism causes poverty. We believe that poverty causes crime. And so, you know, there's many ways that you can say that to where it makes people feel comfortable. I mean, using the word racism in your mission could be very risky for some, and we definitely felt that when we first started. But on the Catholic, we just continue to hold our ground. So what you feel is that we're you know, we used to spend a lot of time, and I know Kelly can actually unpack this better than me, but we spent a lot of time talking about success being measured based on the graduation rate of our boys, and them matriculating to college and workforce, and all those things are good, but there are 6 social emotional learning capacities that we focus on. And we have boys, 92% of our boys in our programming right now, where we serve over 350 boys, have reported gains, 92% gains in at least 3 of those social emotional learning capacities. And those include positive identity, academic self-efficacy, self-management, contribution. These things are very important because if you're black and poor in Atlanta, you have a 4% chance of making it out in the city of Atlanta that is number 1 for income inequality based on race. And so when you have these key performance indicators, then these are things that can help you be successful in life.
Yeah. And I think that's why this conversation is so important, and for the work that you all are doing there in Atlanta to really, I think, to inspire others as well, not just for our radio audience here, but also for our online audience as well, to show them what's possible. And that's what I want to end with here, Kelly. What do you want our audience to know, not only about what you all are doing with the Lead Center for Youth, but also what's possible if you're willing to put forth the effort and do the work?
I'd like for your listeners to know that if, you know, you don't have to start a nonprofit organization in order to do great work in your community. There is great work that's being done. I do feel like you have to vet organizations that you get involved in, because you want to make sure that everything is in order and that work is being done the way you need to be served, and not just giving what somebody wants them to have. I mean, that is a very important distinction. But just looking out in the community and getting involved, I mean, volunteers are such an important part of the work that we do. Individual donors are such an important part of the work that we do. I know a lot of people think that, you know, you have to go after large funding in order to sustain an organization. Well, yes, large funding does help, but it's also those $50 a month donations, $100 a month donations, $25 a month donations from individuals in the community who are connected to our cause or a cause that's in their local community. You do not have to be a millionaire to make a huge impact in the lives of children and organizations in your community that serve children.
Yeah, such a great thing and such a great example the two of you are setting. I really appreciate it. Again, everyone, C.J. Stewart and Kelly Stewart have been our guests, talking with us about the work they're doing with Lead Center for Youth, but also the example they're setting for all of us when it comes to making a difference in the lives of others. Kelly, C.J., really appreciate the two of you being on with us. Kelly, let our audience know, where can they go to find out more information, as well as, of course, to be able to support the work you guys are doing?
Please go to leadcenterforyouth.org, and that's leadcenterforyouth.org, and you'll see a way to sign up for our monthly newsletter, but you'll also see a calendar of events for ways that you can reach out and get involved and volunteer.
All right, and we link that up for our podcast audience as well. Again, really appreciate you all stopping by the program today. Continued success to you, and looking forward to our next chat together.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And more than welcome. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.